Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of Hip Hop Baby's Album Review.
Mm-hmm.
Today I got with me Ray, as always, and then I got my boy Brandon with me as well. What's up, Brandon?
Thank y'all for having me on, man. What's up with y'all?
Nothing much, man. Just, we getting ready to cook.
I have to get into this album, and I know you're really into Gibbs, so I know you're probably going to have a lot to say, too. So
yes, to the GM, baby. Let's get right to it.
Yes, sir.
Let's get right to it.
Today we got Freddie Gibbs, Soul Separately. Freddie Gibbs, if y'all are not familiar, he's been on quite a run ever since Bandana. We got Bandana, Alfredo, Pinata, Soul Separately. Freddie is underground artist at this, you know, working with legendary producers Madlib and Alchemist for his last few projects. I mean, just fucking insane, man. So the expectations for this album are on 10.
Yeah, he got nominated for a Grammy for Alfredo. Damn near should have won, but they gave it to Nas, which is fair. With this one, I was expecting him to do something grand, and we kind of got that. I feel like it's almost like he wanted to reinduce himself to the people. Mm-hmm. As far as like, if you didn't know Freddie, really, here's a lot about me, my life, my hustle, and what I went through, and here's some dope tracks.
Would y'all really consider him like the underground artist though, even at this level? Just since they gained features from like Pusha T, multiple songs with Rick Ross, Jadakiss. Yeah, he was underground for a hot minute, but at this point I wouldn't really consider him, you know, underground. I wouldn't call him mainstream either, but he's not underground. He's somewhere like right between the middle.
Yep.
So yeah, I would say something like that. Really, just Freddie has caught the ear of most critics or other rappers who just think he spits some dope shit and they want to get on a song with him. So exactly what you're saying, like the common people don't know him, but people who are in rap, they know Freddie. Like you got to know Freddie. If you don't know him, you lacking at this point.
Freddie's basically mainstream, but he doesn't have the full mainstream support, which I don't like. I feel like people should be pushing this way more, because this is basically stuff you could play in the car. You could play some of this on the radio.
I think he doesn't have that big mainstream push because he kind of goes against the big machines of the music industry, you know, like, yep. Yeah, he has like close friends and the close friends, like, you know, by watching his interviews, he really fucks with them. And so that's why they're able to make music together. But in general, he really doesn't fuck with the music industry.
Yeah.
I think they don't fuck with him back for that.
I mean, yeah. And he had a beef with Jeezy. I feel like that's a big deal too, especially earlier on. That probably set him back. You know, you're beefing with a big person in the industry after being signed to them. And he still made it. He's persevered. He gets onto that on tracks later on this album where he's really talking about how, like, I still had to hustle. ESGN wasn't going to make it for a minute if I just gave up. I had to keep making it even though people were trying to put me down. Soul Separately, I think this is a great album. I think that you get everything you wanted from Freddie. And I think that him beefing with DJ Ak and stuff before this, like, he's been in the news. He's been making big strides. And I feel like even beefing with DJ Ak, that's a big media personality. That's someone that's going to push you, promote you. He promotes a lot of artists. If people like that would support him, I think he would be a big artist in the game.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that just doing shit your own way pays off. And that Freddie is a perfect example of doing shit your own way until it pops off. Because you just do something different long enough, people gonna pay attention, bro. It don't matter who you fuck with, it don't matter all this like engagement shit that you get. If you're not doing something that's different, bro, you're gonna fall off. So I mean, Freddie has been steadily building. Wasn't expecting a full mainstream push. I definitely wasn't really, I don't know, seeing it like this with like Moneybagg Yo or some pop. Like, I wasn't seeing it like this, but I'm happy that we're here now.
I feel like this album's a celebration. Even some of the skits, you know, it's like you're in a hotel, you chilling, or you at a place, you know, you chilling. They got the vibes, they got the ladies there, they got everything, because he's been doing it big. And that's why he got all these features on here, because real niggas recognize real shit, right?
And I actually found out why he has all those comedians at the end of the skits. I was watching this Bootleg Kev interview, and he was on there, and he was basically talking about the reason why he has all those comedians at the end of his skits. One, it's fucking funny as shit. And two, like, he's like, they're really all friends. And three, since they're all friends, and he's Freddie Gibbs himself is hella funny. He's trying to be a stand-up comedian. So he says to watch out for that in the next few months.
I can see it. Yeah.
He was acting too, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Y'all see his acting gig. He was pretty funny in that shit. So I can see it, bro. How do y'all feel? Brandon, tell me if you know the meaning of the rabbit, bro. Like, what? Why are you trying to push this rabbit thing so hard, bro? What does it mean, bro?
To me, I just would see it as just someone being able to bounce around, really. You know, that's just really the first thing that popped into my
head.
That's good. Yeah, right, you know, I think that's why, you know, prior to being a rapper, I mean, you know, he was like moving weight or across states. So maybe that's why he originated with the Rabbit Man. I thought that was a cool ass name. What do you guys think of the rabbit name? Where do you guys think that came from?
Because that's
why I think it comes from like a trapping background.
You know, white bunny rabbit, but he uses a pink one. But still, like, you know, he was doing stuff like that. And yeah, hopping around. He's had to hop around the game. He's had to maneuver. I feel like he's had to do it at a fast pace, too. It seems like ever since Piana, he's really gotten that internet fan base. I mean, he's always had his little thing, but like that really pushed him in this lane. And then now he's taking another big leap.
What made also Piana such a beautiful project is he has so many different rap artists on it. And my introduction to Freddie Gibbs was that album. Because, well, I knew about him before, but I really started fucking with him then because at that time I was a big Odd Future fan. When I heard Robes with Damo Genesis,
killed it.
Earl on Piñata, bro, I was like, who is this? Who the fuck is this dude? And I just went through his discography, been a fan since, bro. He pulled in like different areas of the rap game into one album, you know, brought in different fan bases.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel like a lot of people got it the same way as you, Robes. And you got Mac on that one too, right? Like, that's just tough, bro. So I was introducing Piñata too, and then Bandana came out. We didn't get to review it, unfortunately. I don't think that we were a thing yet. We did talk about Alfredo last year a little bit. That was my number one in 2020, same. I think. So
Or maybe two. Like, it might have been two.
It was either one or two, I think. Like, nonstop, bro, with this guy. He's been album of the year contention. For me, this is the first one that falls out of album of year contention out of everything that he's dropped.
That doesn't mean much because he's dropped like top tier albums every time. Even this is I think this is gonna still probably be in my top 10 starting out the gate. I like the first track, and then I really like how he set the tone, and then going right into Blackest in the Room, another perfect track, like right back to back, because one, Freddie Gibbs is a dark ass nigga, so it's dope to see. It is what it is, but colorism is a real thing. And also, just like, he's even in mentality, you know what I'm saying, and what he's doing, you know what I'm saying, or like, even if you think about what you've done in the past, he might be the darkest in the room, you know what I'm saying. He's basically saying like, I'm that real person. When I'm talking about is real, and that's what I love about Freddie. It doesn't feel like he's overextending or reaching or trying to tell you some BS. Seems like he's actually just trying to tell you what's up with his story or how he came from being a hustler. You feel me?
And that's why it comes off so genuine, because he doesn't try to overreach or oversell the shit. You know, he just tells it straight up.
Yeah.
I liked how you let the beat breathe on Blackest in the Room at first, and then he just went in, bro. That shit was tough.
Yeah.
That beat switch is cold as fuck.
And then just like the effortless flow, like, where would you go? Who would you fuck?
He's mastered it. He's mastered the flow. He knows what to do with the flows now. You know, we say this about a lot of the artists we like. He's versatile because he could do the super underground, like rapping over Madlib shit, and then he could do shit like this and get money back, yo, and it sounds good. It's not like it's forced, because some people try to get features like that, and then it's like, bro, you shouldn't have worked with them. Hardcore or gangster rap is popular, and he's basically a gangster rapper. He just doesn't.
Well, I feel like that's, you know, what the difference is between collaborations made by the labels versus like actual, like genuine collaborations. You know, you can tell like this shit was just placed in the song. They were in the studio cooking up. You can feel when they were in the studio cooking up on certain songs, you know, like other artists.
Yeah, it's a little different. Definitely. It sounds like Freddie actually wanted him on the track. It wasn't for sales.
It was chemistry, but I'm going to be honest, bro. Moneybagg Yo don't do it for me. But we went too far. I want to talk about Offset first, because that nigga didn't do it for me either. Bro.
Damn, you didn't like the features like that?
Nah, okay,
they fit. Okay, let's talk about Pain and Strife. Let's talk about because that is his number one song off the album, and I know that that's one of the worst ones.
Sample or interpolation of that Bone Thugs, I love that. That's clean.
The beat is good. Want to get that money, man. I love that. He did a great job with that. However, when I get Offset on here, bro, it's like water down, like Migos. Like, he doing something different, bro. I don't know. He wasn't doing the same flow that they were always doing, but, like, he really, like, can't ever, like, hear him again and just be like, he's his own thing, you know?
Yeah, this Offset verse definitely sounded like the former, what I was talking about. It definitely sounded like this fucking collaboration was, like, placed. Because, one, it just doesn't sound right. And, two, Offset just has, like, a shitload of auto-tune on his voice.
Okay.
Yeah, like drowns out the fucking verse. You know, Offset is not the most lyrical dude, but this was just a lazy verse, I'm not gonna lie.
He's supposed to be the flow guy, bro. He's supposed to be the guy who comes in and like gives you that the meanest flow, but it's like Freddie already got that, so what do you do with him? Oh, you clean up his vocals and you make it sound like a computer. Nah, nigga, get that shit off the album.
Maybe he just put him on just because he didn't want to throw away the verse. It didn't really take away from the track too much for me, but maybe that's because I didn't expect much from Offset. I kind of expect that to be the track where you get a feature. It's kind of catchy.
Could have been Lotto, you know, bro. I wouldn't have cared. It would have been the same.
But no, no, no. I wouldn't say all that. You go into
Also, I don't know if you guys know this, but the beat for Pain and Strife is was Offset's favorite beat off the album that he chose to be on. So he actually chose to be on this song.
Yeah.
About it, because I remember seeing that.
Well, I don't know why he came in with that effort, but I mean,
yeah.
Because he could rap. So, like, he could rap. I've heard him rap really good on track. So it's like maybe he just wanted to try to chill because the sample. I don't know. And then Zipper Bags. I love Zipper Bags. I like that track.
I was just listening to that right before this.
I love the beat. Like, we were talking about flows. This is one of my favorite flows on this album, I think. This is one of my favorite flows. He was going in on this.
It's definitely an all-flow song.
Yeah, the way he starts off with, thugging and fucking on bitches, kid, that's what I feel like.
You like, feeling. I love it when he gets into that little, like, sometimes that singing back, and then the beat is dark. I don't know what that sound is, though. I should have looked it up, bro, but I love that little echo or whatever that is in the background that keeps going. I feel like it adds a lot to that flow and to what he's talking about on that track. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're talking about the little sound?
Yeah.
It's your word, man.
Yeah. Freddie, that's what I'm saying. Freddie knows how to, and that's what I also like about this album. He knows how to make a good project. So I feel like he took what he's learned, and he's done this with other projects, like Shadow of a Doubt, even Freddie. I think Freddie, but that was more of like a tape. Yeah. Where he'll drop just his own thing. It's not really connected. Not like a concept, but like he doesn't have like this big producer or someone working with him. And it's still dope because Freddie could kill anything. But I feel like this one, it did kind of have the hotel or whatever, like the area he was in concept. But it wasn't really like strong. It just was like trying to lead you into the next track in a funny or cool way.
Yeah.
And I like that. It was loose. It was laid back. And I feel like he's kind of, I wouldn't say needed that, but I feel like it helps. Especially if you were like trying to get into Freddie, that's going to help you with this album.
I've seen it like a million times. You go back to the Tribe Called Quest, they do the little fucking bleep bleep bleep. Like the audio pilot's talking to you, right? That's cool shit, man. So this is a cool concept. I especially like it on the transition from Too Much to Lobster Omelet. Lobster Omelet's my favorite track on the whole thing, bro.
Rick Ross and Gibbs, man. Cold!
What is up with this fat man, bro? Like, he's crazy, man.
Rick Ross
don't be doing shit like this, except when you get on Freddy. He like, oh, okay. Let me just fucking...
Yeah, because Scotty Beam. Scotty Beam on Alfredo.
Scotty Beam was crazy. Ross's verse on Lobster Omelet was crazy, too. But one question. Did you guys laugh when you guys heard, I'm ice skating? What the fuck does that even mean? Bruh, that bro said, I'm ice skating. I'm ice skating.
The way he says it, too. Like,
I love it, too, because he had a good enough verse to support that funny
movie. Yeah, and I feel like they don't take themselves too seriously. Like, Rick Ross, like, back in the day, I feel like everyone was hardcore. Everyone was being serious back in the day. But now, you know, with the internet and everything, you could loosen up. I feel like Rick Ross has found a way to still do that gangster persona, but he'll say some funny-ass shit. I'm ice skating. I remember on one song, he said, like, I'm butt naked with my chopper. Like, he'll throw in some random line that's like, what? Like, Freddie will do that, too. And I feel like that's why they work so good together. They could both do that luxury rap shit perfectly.
I like the composition of the verses where it was like Freddie's verses about him being a kid, like growing up trying to get it, like trying to be a boss, right? And Rick Ross is speaking from, he's been a boss for so long. So he's, he's talking about the luxury, but niggas is still being watched and you got to move carefully and stuff. So I like the duality of the verse a lot. That was really why I liked it so much. And Ross's verse, like his flow switch that he put on it, like he didn't copy Freddie. He did his own thing, and I really I appreciate when artists do that. Like, I like the synergy sometimes, but like when you put your own imprint on a track and you still stay on theme like that, like that's what I'm looking for. Another thing that I was really interested was this beat when Space Rabbit came on, bro. My ears perked up. I was like, hold on, what's going on over here? This is one of my favorite tracks. I'm sure it's everybody else's too. I think Brandon said it was his favorite track too. You know, we all just want to get to know the man who makes all these great, great tracks. And Space Rabbit is one of the perfect tracks for getting to know Freddie. So
yeah, like you said, Deadly, it's like my favorite song, bro. And the very first line, he says, Cocaine City, quote this dope fiend titty. And it sounds really funny, but when you really think about it, a dope fiend doesn't really have fucking much and they're homeless. So obviously they'd be cold as shit. So at first I laughed and I was like, oh shit, wait, this is getting real. And, you know, and he goes into the verse talking about, you know, like all this shit and talking about how when he was trying to go with record labels, they were trying to compare him to Young Buck and shit. It rhymes. I am almost paraphrasing, but they had him fucked up in that deal, you know, because they sounded like Young Buck. And he definitely doesn't sound like anything like Young Buck. Another line that ties me so closely to this song personally is just when he says that he had to stop drinking that lean, that it was fucking up his gut. That's the theme that he carries on throughout his all of his albums, like how he always talks about how bad like the drugs were and like the withdrawals were and stuff. I drank lean, so like I know what that feels like. So that's another reason that I get so attracted to Freddie's music, because I can tell that this is a genuine person that has been like through like the withdrawals. You know, he's been in the streets, like he's done his dirt, he's did drugs, like for real, not like trying to make that cool thing, but you know, it's real.
He do kind of remind me of Boldy James a little bit, and the fact that he talked so real about like, you know, customers and stuff, like when he was actually selling. So Boldy like would be like, I need you to inject it right now before if you're a first time customer. I'm like, god damn, bro, this shit real.
It's gritty. It's vivid. Like, he paints you the pictures to where you could literally see it, and it's kind of disturbing. It makes it to where it's not like Brendan said, it's not glorified. Because some rappers, they only talk about the positives of drug use or like the fun feeling. And sometimes they kind of go into the withdrawals or the bad things, but not as much as artists like Freddie, like you said, Boldy go into it. And I think that's dope because you need both sides. Even on the other track I brought up, I think Zipper Bags, he kind of talks about that. Like, I don't feel the same when I'm not on the dope or the Drake. Mm-hmm. I don't feel right. And yeah, that's like some people, it really starts to feel like that for them. And you got to have a balance.
And that's why it's so dope, because like you just said, like going back and forth, like most people do glorify it. Freddie will drop a bar in there, you know, saying that, you know, like if I'm not high, I don't feel right, whatever. But he mainly talks about like the bad repercussions of doing drugs and like the after long-term effects. Mm-hmm. So that's the real part about it that I love.
He's really good at doing that. And I feel like he needs to keep doing songs like this or songs, you know, touching on stuff like that. Because it's always dope to hear the dilemma, you know, of having fun is feeling like you need those things to have fun, but you know you gotta have a balance, you know?
On the next track, we got one of the best features in the entire project. Raekwon came and blessed us real quick. Even though I feel like Anderson left us with a flat note, Raekwon blessed us for sure. I mean, I wasn't feeling the corners like that. It's just, that's just my personal opinion. It sounded like elevator lobby music. I mean, maybe he was trying to go with the theme, but like it was not it.
I liked it. I like what Pac brought to the track. It wasn't like his best hook or anything. It was cool. And Raekwon stole the show, though, like you said. I get what you're saying, though, because I kind of was expecting maybe Pac to have a killer verse or maybe to show out more on the hook, because he does that. He'll steal a whole song.
I feel like almost every time like he be coming on, he like just got like some crazy like earworm that he'll like give you, but this time it wasn't.
But what he was saying was cool. Again, I feel no pain. I like this track because he's kind of saying like, I've had to move on everything. You know, I constantly have to overcome a struggle, but I feel no pain. A lot of niggas, they say that, like, I don't feel nothing. I don't feel no pain. It's almost like, I don't really want to feel this way, but I have to, because I've had to overcome so much.
Yeah.
It's, again, not glorifying being a non-feeling, like, I don't give a fuck about things person. He's basically saying, this is what it's come to.
Explaining why you have to do it, because you have to numb yourself to certain stuff, and you can't always be emotionally there and ready and stuff like that. So
my favorite part of this fucking song is the first bars of Freddie and Anderson's verse. We know the shit heavy, but I carry it with ease. For me, Freddie had the best version of that. He said, like a high school janitor, I carry in keys. Mm-hmm. That shit was crazy.
He was dope. I'm not gonna lie, that
Raekwon verse fucking surprised the fuck out of me, because I was listening to that on my way to work, and I saw a featuring Anderson .Paak, and I didn't see the "and." And so I'm on my way to work, and I'm just like, I just Raekwon. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, me too. Me too, bro. Same.
I'm like, what the fuck? I know this New York voice. I'm like, who is this?
He did a good job. I feel like he always adds on the tracks that talk about stuff like that, because he can really get into, hey, yo, like the way he goes in on that shit. And
and he said something I love when artists do this, and he mentioned all three of the artists on the song in his verse. He says, "Pack us and give me the monster click." That's what makes me feel like it's a real genuine like song, bro. Like,
they have chemistry. Yeah. You can feel it when they make these songs. Yes. Like, even though Pac didn't show out the most, he still did a good job, and in line with the track, he didn't stand out. Like, oh, why are you on here? What are you talking about? You know?
Yeah.
That was another good one. Again, it keeps flowing. There hasn't really been any tracks where I've been like, yo, why is this on here? The closest one was the one with Offset.
Yeah, there's not really anything, honestly. I mean, to be honest.
Even then, I like that track still.
Yeah, you know? I like that track too. And then you got Rabbit Vision, which is like one of the coldest guitar ballads. It's just fucking wailing guitar. This nigga's spitting pain, bro. It's like, this is what you want, man. This is what you want from Freddie Gibbs. Like, you don't got to get all that extra foo-foo shit. You just need some nigga spilling his heart on a guitar beat. I love this song. Rabbit Vision is crazy.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, it was cool. It wasn't one of my favorites, but it was a cool track in the album.
It wasn't one of your favorites?
Nah, I mean, I feel like after Feel No Pain, I like that track because what he was talking about and the way he came in. Not to take away from this track, but like came right after one I really like. You know, that's sometimes that's how it is.
I like this one a little bit just because like it's introspective. It's more introspective. Yeah. I feel like Feel No Pain is more thematic. This one is more about Freddie and about like, you know, him getting his rap opportunities fucked up. We were talking about earlier about like, you know, not fucking with the industry and how you getting blackballed, essentially. Just fucked up shit, man, for somebody who's so talented, so good. I needed to hear that. That was really good. Just builds on, like, the lore of, like, the whole rapper. And I like, the reason why we get into these things is because we like their personalities. We like what they say and all that. So, like, anything that adds to somebody's personality for me is always going to be a huge plus and something that I'm going to rate higher than other things, so.
And that's what I love about Freddie when he gets introspective, you know, talking about real shit. Because I don't know if you guys know, but in the song, he talks about Jeezy a little bit. You know how he's he talks about like how he tried to like fuck him over in a deal essentially, and like he wasn't fucking with it kind of shit. I'm sure he's talking about another friend of his with talking about like fronting him packs on packs, you know, kind of shit, which is real life shit. You know, if you know you front packs somebody, you know, that's real money. So, you know, real problems will come out of that. Talks much about his Gary, Indiana days kind of shit. You feel me? I think that's what makes Freddie so great, bro. It's because he's like a real thug, but he's also like a poet. And when he gets into perspective, he gets just in his bag and just starts it's talking crazy. About real it's another shit. Level it flows perfectly. Yeah. Let's talk about PYS, man. Let's talk about PYS.
I like this one. I like the energy on this one. You know, I like the upbeat tracks, and I also like that the 3-6 Mafia vibe. I mean, you get DJ Paul on here, of course, and you know that their sound is still influential today.
Oh yeah,
like it pops up every once in a while, other people sample them. So it was dope to see him work with DJ Paul and they come out with a good track together. I like this one. I like the energy on this one a lot.
And I really like the fact that DJ Paul actually produced this. Like he was behind the board.
You could hear it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I heard it and then I looked onto the credits and I was like, oh shit, it's not just a sample. DJ Paul really did this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like this adds to the validity of how like 100 this is.
I feel like if you get them, like one of them on there, like it's good. They're going to take over the track because like I said,
that's so, just that sound is so
that prolific. Sound, man. And like, I feel like Freddie did a good, really good job though. Like Freddie's verse on this was dope as fuck. Like, I feel like he doesn't let anyone, like, even though he didn't really compromise on this album, but he did do some different stuff as far as flows and, you know, working with people. Right. Mm-hmm. He didn't compromise just because he got someone like DJ Paul or, you know, Offset. Like, he still did, it sound like what he wanted to do. And even though he might have changed a little bit, it wasn't like, oh, I'm doing like a pop song now.
Yeah.
What did y'all think? How did the singles fit in the album as compared to when you first heard them?
I don't really think the singles necessarily fit. They're not bad, but they don't necessarily fit. Yeah, in full context of like, if you listen to from Couldn't Be Done to the fucking last song, I think it's CIA. If you listen to that throughout the whole thing, like the singles do sound a little like off. Like, let's say my shit's on shuffle, you know, I'm listening to, you know, Grandma Stove. Fantastic song, and then Too Much comes on. I'm like, oh, you know, it sounds like a different project almost.
Yes,
it's fire, it's gas, but
it does.
So I think that's just part of the transitional phase from going to what we consider to be like kind of underground to like mainstream. Is we got to go through these growing pains of Freddie having to put out singles that aren't necessarily really going to fit on the album. It might not happen the next time, but like, yeah, I kind of agree. Too Much, Moneybagg Yo, like I literally, like, when I heard that, bro, I was like, please, God, this album better not fucking suck, bro. Because
I was thinking that same shit, too. And I'm not mad at Freddie for getting these big names to help his album. He has to do that. That's why I'm not mad at it, you know?
Yeah, I knew it wasn't going to necessarily suck unless the rest of the album was like this. But it did bring down my expectations. Because it was like, okay, well, if you're working with people like Moneybagg Yo, are you going to still be trying to rap to the best of your ability sometime? Or is this going to be you trying to catch other people's ear? I'm glad I didn't fully get that. You know, you just working with people. I feel like he tried to get features that would work. He tried to find the best of both worlds. And it just didn't hit fully sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't take away from the album, though, even though we're saying like they didn't fit. To me, it didn't take away. It just was like, okay, I see the vision. I'm not holding it against them.
Got the rabbit vision?
Mm-hmm.
We got Pusha T on this motherfucker, bro. We got gold rings, bro. What y'all think about gold rings, man? Exactly.
Who wants to go first?
All that has to be said, bro. Let's get it.
Yeah, because these men, hey, when these two get together, man, track was it. Palm Olive, okay?
Yeah.
That was dope, right? This one, another great track with them working together. I feel like they're the two best, like, dope dealer rappers in the game as far as, like, the big ones. Right. Like, the ones people know, but they act like they kind of don't know or they don't fully support. Because Pusha T's right. kind of in that bag where, you know, he's beefing with Drake and shit. Like, he's a big-ass rapper. He was in clips. People act like he's, like,
body
some underground.
Drake, by the way. Body huh? Drake.
Yeah, body Drake. Drake. Yep,
by
yep.
The way. Body
drink. And people act like he's still a no name, or like, especially people who are like in the industry, they still don't fully support him sometimes because, you know, that beef and stuff. And when they get together, I feel like it's perfect because they kind of both have that edge to them. Like, I'm yeah. supposed to be who I am. I've been putting in work for years. I got classics, and y'all still yeah. don't respect me. I'm the biggest dope dealer in the game, nigga. What's up? Mm-hmm. Let's keep it real. And I love this track.
Yeah, and he doesn't, and he and Pusha T, I mean, he's been out for forever, bro. And
like, forever. Clips.
Yeah, and everything. And, you know, he doesn't sound outdated. And that's what I was also gonna say about DJ Paul and PYS. They don't sound outdated. Like, they still sound fresh, they still sound good. And mm-hmm. to go into Freddie's verse, you know, going back to how Freddie paints a perfect picture, he talks about how, you know, he was at his bitch's house. He was there was a police chase going on, breaks the fucking windows, skirts off. And then he realizes, fuck, I left my gun with the switch at the fucking house. Now you feel like you're Freddie. Now you feel the anxiety of Freddie. When it's so vivid like that, that's when you know it's just like a 10. Then you yeah. got Pusha T following it up with the fucking crazy verse, my cocaine novella. Come on, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
For real, like, niggas need to respect Pusha T. I know they do. So It's About Dry. It was one of my favorite albums of this year. It came out earlier, but he's still showing, like, I damn near still got one of the best albums this year, and y'all gonna hear me mm-hmm. on other people's albums because people respect mm-hmm. me.
These guys you're talking about, like you saying, like, they still sound fresh. I mean, these are guys who pioneered their own sound, right? I mean, that's why yeah. they'll always sound fresh, because they're not copying nobody from the jump. They was Facts. Legitimate from the jump, and they always gonna be that way. And
people copying them now.
And yeah, and real music gonna live forever, nigga. That's just facts. Then we get into Grandma's Stove right after that, you know.
Slower one.
Take it down a notch. You got Music Soul Child on there, you know. I mean, it's still cool. It's kind of fitting the theme of the album where you got like a yes. high energy and you kind of go low energy and you're kind of like taking you back and forth, and it's like almost like a roller coaster at this point. So I really like this track. I don't have anything bad to say against it. It's mainly about him being in like Gary, right? And he's at yeah. his yeah. house, and he's talking about like his run-ins with like people he doesn't want to run in with so close to home. And, you know, that's a really relatable track for me growing up in Antioch. You know, I had some undesirable niggas sitting outside my house all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I was yep. at my grandma's house, right? So that'd probably be the closest hitting one for me personally.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, like, as soon as I heard it, like, for the second time, once it really started to resonate, like, I'm not gonna lie, I shed a tear to this song because I felt how he feels in this song. But, you know, damn, if I wasn't high, if I didn't have whatever vice to get me by, like, you know, I might just fucking blow my brains out. And he's referencing Tupac right there, and yep. that's a beautiful reference, you know. And I felt the song so hard that it almost went over my head that Tupac said that shit, and I was like, oh wait, he's referencing Tupac. Love this song because he talks about, you know, when he was still fucking like cooking crack and shit, like starting off his rap career, people weren't fucking with him, you know. He says the shows were hella empty, but he still got his homies in, kind of shit, you know, like how everybody considers him a deadbeat, like the outside world, but that's only looking from the outside in. But if you were looking from the inside out, you would see that there's a man trying really hard to provide and do everything for himself and his family and his fan base.
This is a really introspective track. I really was thinking about that because, you know, sometimes I used to visit my grandma's house too, you know. You used to be around family, used to be around people, and things would happen. Crazy stuff happens. Crazy stuff is happening at my grandma's house. I feel like I've moved on. I progressed a lot, but sometimes those memories come back when certain things come back, and, you know, you're like, damn, like, I really went through that. Or, damn, this really happened in this room. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah, it did hit me, too. I like this track.
Also, it just hits a little different, too, because I don't know if you guys have had a heartbreak. I'm sure you guys have had, but he talks about how he had a baby on some other bitch, and, like, mm-hmm. he pretty much fucked around with the hoe and, like, fucked up, like, a good woman for the rest of his life. And I for mm-hmm. sure have done that in my life. And then he talks about this other girl, how once he was already famous, like, this bitch was hating on them, so, like, she, like, filed, like, lawsuits against them. And he phrased it so well. He said that bitch was going after my pockets because she knew she never had my heart. Once I heard that, I was like, far!
For real? Yeah, because Freddie Gibbs, you know, he's been through drama. We know he was he got arrested and shit for a situation that basically he got free of because it was some BS, you know?
Being in jail is ass. Imagine being in jail over the internationally, bro, where they don't give a fuck about you, just to find out when you get released, bro, this bitch says she had a fucking fever dream of you raping her. A dream.
Crazy. Yeah, he touched on a lot. That was the hardest new track. As we get into CIA as well, like, he really found a way to close this album in, like, a heavy way. He closed it in a way that was like, wow. Like I said, he's taking everything he's learned, and he did an amazing closer. He really knows how to get deep and dark without it feeling too overbearing. You can really feel what he's saying, but it's not like I'm listening to some, like, emo song, and he's like, you know, it's like he's not bitching. He's just telling you what's up. You guys get what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, he's not whining about the situation. He's like, damn, bro, shit was hard, but shit, powered through. We just went through. We just kept doing it. Shit was hard. We cried. My stomach was empty, but shit, we went through, bro. That's why I didn't sound bitchy, you know?
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you make it, bro. You made it, right? So, CIA, though?
What do you guys think of the whole fucking, what that stands for? How do you guys think of the theme of the song?
I want to say just one bar that I love. Need my money back, you can never YK Osiris me. That's just hilarious, bro. Fuck that. I didn't go YK. He done, bro.
When I heard that, I was like, damn, that's cold.
I like this track. You know, CIA, we already know what's up with the CIA. They go after people like, you know, like Freddie, especially at the time. You know, I'm not saying he's doing that right now. And I feel like it just added on to the whole premise of, like, how far he's come. And how he's moved past this, but it still comes and gets him every once in a while.
Bro, it stands for crack, Instagram, and AIDS. Yeah, and so, like, that's why it's, like, I think the idea of it is, like, crazy, because obviously it plays on to the CIA thing, and crack obviously was put into Black communities by the government. That's not a fucking secret. Instagram has fucked up everybody's well, a lot of people's social barometer and how they interact, and also their priorities. And AIDS, I mean, shit, I'll let y'all tell it, but I don't think that was a mistake.
How they planted things, deterring from progression, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and all that. And we all know they masterminds out this shit, bro. Like, we know what y'all doing, bro. We know what happened in 2020. Like, nobody's stupid, bro. Like,
I feel like it was a cool track to come after the Grandma Stove track. I wouldn't say I wanted him to end it with Grandma Stove, but this was cool.
I think Decoded is a better.
Decoded's crazy.
Honestly, like, I would have took out the bonus track out of that title.
And just let that be the closer. Okay. Yeah, I was about to say.
Have that be the actual closer.
Because Decoded was crazy. I love Scarface. Scarface is one of my favorite rappers. Of all time.
The beat on this song, literally, it sounds like you got at the lobby and you in the spaceship now. That's what this shit sounds like. It's so crazy. These niggas really spitting on here. I'm so glad, bro, that Freddie got Scarface coming on here and talk about it. Especially this in particular about, you know, young niggas running wild and doing whatever the fuck they think that they can do, bro. Like, thank God we finally got some people talking about this shit. We really need rappers to speak on this. Like, you're not invincible. Don't be running around with your chains on in certain places where you know you shouldn't be. Don't be thinking you untouchable, because you're not, bro. Like,
he says that earlier too about how, like, these young rappers are overdosing and stuff now, you know, because they're doing drugs.
It ties in the same, like, the glorification of this lifestyle, bro. You, like, you think shit's sweet, and it's never sweet, bro. Like, you gotta keep your head on a swivel. We gotta start putting game back into these songs, man. We can't be just keep rapping about nonsense, because, you know, niggas is out here dying, bro. Like, somebody gotta say something, right? I really like Decoded for that reason, because, like, finally I feel like somebody's actually, like, speaking on this shit in a positive manner while also telling people that, like, what you're doing right now, like, it's not working, but you could do this and you could be better and we could all be living better, you know, because we gotta protect ourselves, man.
Just love how Scarface started off his fucking verse, you know, saying that he lives for the moment, but he's stuck in the minute. You know, I'm sure everybody has felt living for the moment, but then eventually that leads you to being stuck in a situation. You wouldn't want to be in that situation.
And Scarface is the perfect rapper, because he's the best storyteller. Yeah, like you said, this shouldn't have been a bonus track. It should have been a closer. Maybe he did it because it felt different. I'm not gonna lie, it felt like a different track, though, like, as far as, like, with the rest of the album, even though it could have fit as the close. Maybe it's because he got Scarface and as a feature. He got Raekwon, though, so I don't know. I don't know why. I'm happy we got it. I'm happy he didn't, like, decide, like, oh, I'm just going to cut it, because it was a great track. Scarface killed it.
Sure. Who knows how many songs that were amazing that were left off this album.
Yeah. Big Bunny or whatever. He released, like, a few singles, like Black Illuminati. And that's not even on here. So he had been building up this album for a minute. And then he basically dropped those singles with Moneybag after that. So maybe there was a shift. Yeah. And maybe he decided to go with this instead.
I feel like there was a shift, because right around that time when he was dropping that single Ice Cream with Rick Ross.
Yep.
Yeah, Demise. And then he dropped one other one that was left off that. Oh, Gang Signs.
The Gang Signs, yeah.
Schoolboy Q. Everything.
Yep.
I fucking love that song. That was the best single that came out. But I think that somewhere in between those three singles and Too Much or Money Bag, somewhere in between that timeline, the theme of the album must have changed. For sure.
For sure. Yeah. I think he was going to go for maybe a more like, seemed like he was going for more like the usual features. Like he said, Schoolboy. Yeah, Rick Ross,
who's
worked with. And Jadakiss, which that was, I love Black Illuminati. I'm surprised he didn't put that as a bonus track. But again, it's a different vibe. This is more a celebration. Maybe he'll give us something like that for the next one.
I actually appreciate it though. Like, Gang Signs came out in what, early 2021?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
I don't want to hear that on an album, bro. Like, if you dropped it a year plus ago, I don't want to hear that on an album. So I appreciate that he like gave us all new tracks, 16 new tracks, bro. Like, I'll fucking take it.
Maybe it'll give us more like that on the deluxe or something. That's how artists do it nowadays. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of artists hype up singles and then don't throw it and don't throw it on and they wait until like years to throw it on the project, you know?
Dude, that's what I was getting at, bro, because it's like that shit sucks. Like when you like, you're looking at an album and you're like looking for like the big song. The big song came out 2 fucking years ago.
That's true. If it's still the best song, if Black Illuminati was on here, I don't know if it would have been the best song, but it would have been one of my highlights probably.
And it would have took away from the new stuff.
It's all about the art of giving out a certain amount of music in a certain style and seeing how that gets received and being able to do that well into your fan base.
But nowadays it's like the internet, right? You're gonna get immediate feedback. You're like, people are gonna tell you right away, so you can start working. Like, that is the easiest way. Like, you got all this immediate feedback, keep doing it. But yeah, it does take a certain artist, like, you know, like Freddie, you know, drop the lead up singles and then drop the album the correct way. I feel like everything's been fucked up since Lil Uzi was like, fuck it, here's 20 songs. Oh yeah, y'all want 20 more? Here's 20
hey,
more.
That was dope though, but not everyone was Uzi and then not we've been shown that. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that. Uzi, and yeah, bro. I agree.
That wraps up this episode of Hip Hop Baby's album review. Thank y'all so much for checking out our review of So So Separately. Thank you so much, Brandon, for popping on this shit and giving us your charismatic opinion, bro. I like what you brought today. You came in. You was passionate. You was laughing, angry.
Thank y'all for having me, man. I've been a big fan of the podcast, man. You know, Eric, my brother, bro. So I'd be supporting the shit out of this podcast. I'd be posting this shit every time I see that motherfucker. So thank y'all for having me, man. I love, you know, talking about music with y'all. I love, you know, just getting into this music conversation. So thank you again.
Yeah, sure, man. No, you got any socials you want to shout out real quick? You want to get a little bit of clout?
Yeah. Y'all can follow my Instagram. You can follow my Instagram at HunnidRackBoy8. That's HUNNID, RackBoy8.
All that would be in the description.
Thank you so much again, man. If anybody else wants to get on here and they want to talk their shit, you know, just like this, it's an open format, please hit us up. You know, we'll talk about anything with y'all. This album is amazing. Please check out this album. If you don't know Freddie yet, well, here's your acquaintance.
Perfect album for that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Make sure y'all send us beats, send us requests at thhbpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, follow me on TikTok. We don't have a TikTok page, but, you know, I post about it. Anyways, thank y'all so much. And with that being said, peace.
Peace.
Deuces.